could you just tell me how you got involved? I think that's the best thing.
Well,
what the connection was.
I got involved through a book of my own that I wrote called The Proper Study of Mankind. I don't know whether you've ever seen it.
Yes, I've heard of it.
Yes,
I haven't read it.
I can lend you a copy of that if you wanted it.
Thank you. I can get it in the Bodleian Library, I think.
Yes. Oh, well, good.
But carry on.
Yes. Well, this particular book linked together several sorts of things. It was very wide. It was an attempt to get to tone down the amount of specialism that accumulates around any subject at all. It's had to face a certain amount of quite good-natured criticism. I remember, who was it now? Some Oxford nuns said this book is excellent until it gets to man. I didn't mind that because... Well, anyway, I have published this book, and it brought me almost immediately a whole string of queries and so on, which I was very glad about. It was partly, how can I do this?
It's B.A. Howard, The Mixed School of Study and Co-Education, published in 1928.
Yes. Well, I'd started out in life as a mathematician, and, I say a mathematician. I took mathematical degrees. That doesn't qualify me to be called a mathematician. And the thing went very well indeed. But unfortunately, I produced this about 4 years, 5 years before the war, of course. And when the war came, casualty at once, you see.
And you mean then it stopped selling at that point?
It was up to that point, it was selling all over the place.
Yes.
You see now. I remember it had not been on the market more than 4 or 5 months when the publishers told me that they'd got rid of a couple of thousand copies immediately.
This is The Proper Study of Mankind.
Yes, that's Proper Study of Mankind.
Mm.
Now, it comes into the picture this way that Simon read it. I expect Mrs. Simon showed it to him because she was great friends with Eva Humbert. You knew about that book.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
They were friends at Cambridge, actually.
Yes, they were, yes. Yes, they were. Well, so was I, but...
you were friends with them at Cambridge, were you?
No. Mm. I was a generation ahead of them, right there.
I see, yes.
Bound to be, you see.
Yes.
That's what happened. But I do think it was useful in that it was a corrective, as I hoped, against undue specialisation.
So what happened? Simon wrote to you?
Yes, Simon wrote to me, and I might have dug out one or two things here. But
well, tell me how he struck you.
I had great respect for him. You must take off perhaps 5 or 10%, because there's a little bit of a snob left in most of us, you see. And I'm bound to say, and I paid, well, I was rather particularly pleased because he was a knight and a leading person in Manchester and so on. And he immediately asked me if I could join this scene. He said he thought I could and so on, and I did, and I ran into a very good group of like-minded people, I think it's fair to say. Simon himself was a very generous sort of chap. He also kept a very good table. He had a London flat, and goodness knows what contacts all over the place. And he had what was a great help, one or two extremely good secretaries who would help in all sorts of ways. And in the end I got lugged into a certain amount of writing for them, which was, I think, far more my line than speaking. But I used to speak too, and it was always the same sort of lines. It's a bit difficult to...
It says in his letter to you on the 7th of September, 34, I believe that the real drive for education for citizenship at the moment is due to Hitler.
Yes, so, well, that I think is agreed.
On the other hand, what he says is perfectly true, semicolon, Hitler or no Hitler, education for citizenship is vitally important in our complex society. Mm-hmm. And then he says we can talk the whole thing over. And so you're obviously going to meet after the 7th of September, 34.
Quite frequently.
Did you really? He was based, what, at his flat? Or
well, he was based in Manchester, and what would happen would be this. You'd get a note saying, you know, I shall be in London tomorrow night, come and have a meal with me, and that sort of thing. And those were, I think, the moments of greatest contact. Eva Hubbock came into that very, very soon, very effectively. There were a certain number of rather silly, rather cranky sort of people about it. There are in any movement, and I got to see in the end that it probably every movement had to attract a fringe of people who were really pushing their own nostrums more than yours. But there you were.
So what did Eva really contribute to?
Oh, well, this. There was, as you said, I think, there was hardly any suffrage movement, civics, anything like that she wasn't in if she saw some chance of pushing it on. She didn't always, I think, make the impact he might have. But I would say in the end, apart from Simon, it was Eva Hubbock and myself probably who made the biggest contributions. And we were both what you might call professional teachers.
She was at Morley College, of course.
Yes, yes, she was at Morley College. And that's, I think, did help a little bit to link up people. Simon would ring up, or his secretary would ring up and say, come and have dinner with me. And that letter you've seen is just one of many. Probably one of many, you see. And you must sort out for yourself whether I enjoyed all this because I liked being friends on friendly terms with someone who would later appear, or whether that wasn't a...
Well, all human motives are mixed, aren't they?
They are mixed, of course. But I enjoyed it very much, and coming back to the proper study, I think that would have made an impact. I think it did already. If it had had a fair chance. But a book published in, I think it was 1934, 35, something like that, about world affairs, history in its broadest sense, that kind of thing, doesn't stand much chance of anybody looking at it when there's a war on. And of course, naturally, they just couldn't get paper for it. And it fell out of that. Then after the war, they were very keen for me to revise it, but I found I couldn't. It's written at the moment in the idiom of the 1930s. That idiom I knew about, that idiom I could write about that.
So the world had changed.
The world had changed. I mean, take a thing like conservation and all this sort of business. It's all new. Yeah. And of course, all this time I was a practicing schoolmaster, and I couldn't expect my governing body to let me...
Where were you actually teaching?
Addie and Stenup.
At?
Addie and Stenup.
I see.
You don't know it, do you?
I don't, no.
Well,
yeah.
It's a grammar school founded by John Addie.
Is that A-D-Y-E?
A-D-D-E-Y.
Oh, yes.
Founded by John Addie, who was a Deptford shipwright, and had no education, but quite a lot of money, And when he died, he caused to be distributed as much of the his money as he could, and the whole neighborhood went into mourning. And he said he would pay for the mournings they went into it, and so on. Well, that was that. Then Dean Stanhope, quite another thing. Instead of having a lot of money and not many brains, or well, mustn't say not many brains about Addy, because it was one of the Addy ships in the.
Still, maybe it was a different contribution.
Yeah, quite different, yes. Mm. And
this is a school in Deptford, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, that's it. It's still there.
Yes.
Just at the moment, it's struggling to keep outside of the comprehensive net.
So, you know, when did you start teaching there, Mr.?
Teaching Addy and Stanhope.
Roughly
1929, I would suspect.
So you were there all your career?
Practically
you?
All my career.
Yeah.
I had
teaching mathematics or
anything that came to the wheel. Mm. In the early days, just mathematics purely, because I was a trained mathematician at a time when there weren't a great many of them about. Mm. But my interest had always been the intelligent sixth former type. And that broadened out, the work I did for them broadened out then into what we called, rather grandiloquently, philosophy. And it wasn't a bad description of what we were trying to do, I think. Well, that, where have I got to now?
Well, we were talking about how you went straight to that school from Cambridge, did you? Or?
I didn't, no, I went to Warwick from, I went to Warwick, where for various reasons I was quite lucky and became a head of a department within two or three years.
Which school in Warwick was
Warwick School.
I see, yes.
Do you know it?
No, I don't.
It's
actually
a very nice school, or was. Mm. Perhaps it suffered just a little bit by being on the doorstep of Rugby.
Mm. So you went from there to the school in Deptford?
I do indeed.
What, as not as a sixth form master particularly, but...
No, but a headmaster.
As headmaster?
Oh, yes.
Oh,
yes.
I was... So you were headmaster all that time?
Yes, I was headmaster from 1929. I think that's the date.
Mm.
No, 1924.
Well, you published The Mixed School in 1928, actually.
1928, yeah. Yes. Well, that more or less dates it for you.
Yes.
So that, you see, coming back to that for a minute, that is rather more linked up. You'd think it was a better jumping off point than mathematics.
Mm.
But there you were. Mm. That made very little money. If you want to measure it by money, you wouldn't go for that. The proper study would have made money in time, and I say it started off extremely well. And I then wrote a book which sold well over a quarter of a million copies. You can at once gather that that has nothing to do with history or anything like that. It was a book on trigonometry, you see.
Was it?
And that's what the world wanted at that stage.
What was it called, actually? First idea of trigonometry. Yeah. Oh, yes. You say three-quarters of a million copies.
I'm sorry, quarter of a... The last count I made was over a quarter of a million, and it was still heading strong for... in fact, possibly it gives you the date there. I don't.
Well, 1924.
Yes, oh, that was when it started. Yes.
Yes. So, would you say joining the Association for Education and Citizenship grew out of your sixth form teaching, really?
It linked on splendidly to it, but of course there were differences. Now, Eva Hubbock was a kind of practicing. What's the world? Educationist. And she had university links through the Simons and the one or two, and Mary Stocks and one or two like that. And I came on, I think I might say, as a useful person for writing memorandums. I had very little experience of addressing large meetings. but a good deal of experience in writing, and goodness me, the rate we turned out that stuff for 3 or 4 years. I should meet up with Simon, Eva Hubbard, she was always there, Simon was, and very likely Mary Stocks, and so on, and we should be thrashing out some subject or another, and in the end they generally said, oh, leave it to Howard, he'll put that right for you. So I had a lot of practice in crossing the I's and dotting the T's, as you might say. And that was it.
So you really wrote down the results of
yes,
the discussion?
Yes, that's exactly you. The kind of thing I did do for a long time. Mm. Jode was in it. But Jode was rather... did you know anything about Jode?
Oh, I've heard of him, of
yes,
course, but
yes.
I didn't know.
But he was a little bit difficult because he said he was a professional author and must have a fee, and of course the rest of us were in it for the love of the thing, and I don't think it was any worse for that.
You said Eva Hubbard didn't have as much influence as she could have had. What did
well,
you mean
no,
by that?
Did I say that?
Something like that.
I put it this way, she was just a little bit, I don't like to say domineering, perhaps a better way to put it would be to say that she was an extremely good tactician in running a meeting and so forth. And if you are an extremely good tactician, you try and get your way the whole time. And if you overdo that, people perhaps resent it a little bit. And she was, I think, a little bit like that. On the other hand, she had enormous energy. I forget what her academic record was, but probably it was must have been...
She did moral sciences at Cambridge.
Yes, that's what it was, yes, that's what it was.
Mm. So she'd rather dominate a meeting, would she then?
She would rather, yes. Mm. But she was, anyway, a professional teacher. I also was a professional teacher, and we were both of us making our small way. It's only a small way, but we were making it, and I think we were a stabilizing influence because we attracted to us a whole lot of frightfully well-meaning but good people who were very anxious to push us along certain lines, and it was, I think, she and I who kept the thing fairly well on our objectives, so to speak.
What happened when you went to the flat, say, at Simon's invitation? What happened there?
Oh, first of all, we would have a very good dinner. Simon was very fond of smoked salmon. And of course, you have lots of money. By the way, he subscribed $500 a year for us for some time. And I can well remember almost the last time I saw him. There was no one else there but myself, and I hadn't seen him for some time, because when he was chairman of the BBC governors, naturally a lot of his interests had to go into that. He hadn't seen me for some months, and I can well remember saying, "Ah, Howard, that's nice to see you again. Now, you're looking thin." And I would say, "Oh, that's all right." "Well, you know, but you know, you don't. Now, tonight, we have a very good meal, and you shall pick just what we want. Smoked salmon is rather good."
So you get talking over a meal,
yes,
then?
Yes, you would. And he was quite good, because of course he was a businessman and a brilliantly successful one. He was quite good in seeing that you kept to the point in the end. And he had, I suppose, he was very good at allowing a discussion to roam while it was doing no harm, and getting it on finally to the exact point he wanted. I could well understand how it was he became head of a very large business.
he could get people coordinated,
yes,
without
yes.
being managing.
Without being, yes, mm. that's it. That's mm. it. It is an art.
Mm.
And as I say, he was very good at it.
So how did Eva get on with him then? Did they get on well?
Yes, they got on very well indeed. So well indeed, and I think there may have been in one or two cases a little bit of jealousy. People saying, well, we can never get hold of Simon because Eva won't let us. She's always there on the doorstep. Well, that was all right. That was all right. But I think, put it this way, I think she was very much respected by everybody. But I wouldn't say that she carried as much weight as some people might do, because I don't think she jollied people along.
She was too pushing, really, you think?
I think a little bit, mm. yes.
What, did she have good ideas?
I think so, yes. But the big difference between her and myself was this. She was frightfully keen to have what might be called civics taught all over schools. And civics meant learning a great deal of stuff about the functions of a county council, alderman, all that sort of business. And I was not at all interested, or only very little interested, in all that kind of thing. I was interested in getting a right feeling about the thing, understanding that you had obligations, you know, in a great
society. So you were more interested in the moral side of it, were you?
I was.
Moral discipline, sort of that.
Yes,
that
kind of thing, yes.
Yes.
That was what happened. Yeah. Oh, hello, love. This is nice of you.
Oh, how very kind of you. What did she look like, Eva? I mean, can you describe her to me?
Fairly tall, I would say. Dark-skinned. There might have been a hint of the Jewess about her.
She was Jewish.
Yes, she was, yes.
yes. yes.
But I think she drifted away from a strict
That's Jewish right.
I should think she did, yes.
And well-dressed?
Hmm?
Well-dressed?
We were such an earnest lot of people that we didn't notice about about that. But I do understand what people said. I think it's true to say that she had a... She was tidily dressed, but they were not her interests, you see. Her interests are rather more the things we've been talking about now. That's when she came alive. And, well, there you are.
Her main interests were intellectual, academic.
Oh, yes, they were.
Yes. What about punctuality and things like that? Was she
quite good, quite good. Mm. Mm-hmm. At least I don't remember any trouble.
Mm. So anyway, it's really a Simon Hubbock affair with you helping. There's a trio, really, isn't there, of the three of you?
I think it's fair to say that. Of course, the proportions varied a good deal. For instance, during the war, my school had to be evacuated to Wales, and I was right out of things for 3 or 4 years.
Mm.
That, well, you got that kind of thing. And then Simon, when Simon went to the BBC as chairman of the directors, or whatever they called it, he lost touch with citizenship, and after the war, when we did our best to resuscitate the whole business, because during the war you just couldn't do anything, after that he, I think bit by bit, he was getting older, and he was very much absorbed in the current political
controversies. Yes, he had a bigger fish to fry by
oh,
that
he had
time.
A, yes, and, exactly, very much.
The BBC is a big
yes. education. Yes, of course it was.
Yes. But what sort of people were at the centre of the AEC then? I mean, I don't want to ask you about your politics if you don't want to talk about it, but were they on the whole Liberal or Labour or what would you say?
I would say they were forward-looking. They were not communists. They, I'm taking a sort of average on them. If you must put them in one word, which is almost impossible, they were liberals. I would say that was a fair thing.
Not necessarily with a capital L.
Oh, no, not necessarily with a capital L. Mm. And in fact, we had to be rather careful because there was a great deal of criticism in between the wars on... what was I going to say?
Talking about liberals.
Yes. Oh, yes. Simon was, to begin with, a liberal, and he ultimately, as you know, became Labour.
And Eva Hubbard did too,
and she did too, yes. Mm. I suppose that was the natural tendency then. I remained an obstinate liberal until I ceased to believe in a liberal party or any other party, and I relapsed into...
agnosticism.
But I was saying that was quite amusing, really. Simon went out for all the big names, you see. Eden, yes, we'll get an Anton Eden, he'll be good. So and so. But all these people were names at the top of a paper representing the council. They didn't do the work. The work was done at a lower level.
That's the thing I've noticed about Eva, that she's a very good link woman. She knows people. Mm. She can sort of make connections. Mm. You see what I mean? Did you feel that about her?
I would say that, yes. Mm. Mm. Didn't you meet her at all? No, because he would be on the young side.
Really. No. Mm. I met her children.
Well, yes.
But I haven't met her. Mm. What about Mary Stocks then? What did she contribute to the whole thing?
Well, she was most of the time principal of Bedford College, as you know. Her husband had been a don at Manchester, and you know, he died early and so on, and she had to earn a living, and she earned it brilliantly. Bedford College must have paid her a very good salary, and she was able to, well, she was a great help, particularly to Simon, or, to put that rather more accurately, particularly the Lady Simon, who brought her into it all. It was, I remember the very first time I met her, Simon had asked me to lunch, and she was there, and neither of us knew the other, and she'd got there first, and she was engaged in a rampageous talk about the impossible lack of it was a mathematical thing there. She was saying she'd been marking some A-level papers in mathematics, or rather in her own subjects, but
economics probably.
Economics. Mm. But she said, you know, some of them can't write. They're as illiterate as all these mathematicians always are. And Simon, who was well aware that I was a bit of a mathematician, was trying all the time to edge her off this point and get in a word, and I was very much amused, you see. And when she more or less exhausted the vocabulary, then he did manage to say, you know, Mr. Howard is a mathematician. But she took it in good part.
How did she get on with Eva Hubbard?
I don't know that she didn't get on. I don't recollect having seen them both together.
I really wonder, you see, because they're both close friends of Simon. I wondered if they were rivals at all, you know.
Well, they might have been a bit. But, of course, Mary Stocks got a much wider appeal. It was much more acceptable to the normal educational people than Eva Hammock was. She did a great work at Morley College, but it was only at Morley that she was really well known, whereas Mary Stocks was known over much wider. You've read Mary Stocks' book, have you?
Yes, I have. I've met Mary Stocks before she died, yes.
Yeah. I've got a copy of that.
Yes, I've got a copy of my own, actually. Mm-hmm. It's a good biography, I think.
Yes, quite good.
So how did it work then? I mean, in the early years, the AEC, was it really a matter of making links with the top people and then working
that
down?
That was one thing. Now that reminds me what I was going to say just now. Simon and various other people saw to the collection of splendid names to be put on the literature, you see. I mentioned this morning we were not about a little innocent snobbery, and that was that. But
We were talking about how the whole thing was run from the top.
Yes. Well, the important thing was that we had to keep the balance, because once you got into the field of practical politics, you could very easily be smeared as a liberal, as a communist.